There is often a kind of enforced good cheer about holidays that brings out the inner curmudgeon in me. At Christmas and New Year's, there's the added weight of expectations around gift giving and familial warmth and connection that just piles it on even more. I am self-conscious dressing up for Halloween. I don't like fireworks. And don't get me started on Valentine's Day. Bah humbug. So one of the great gifts of this faith for me is that it has helped me reconnect with the deeper human meaning and mystery of many holidays. Yes, Unitarian Universalism gave me back Christmas and Halloween. I've come to love them for the ritual and their spiritual and religious messages offered in a way I at last can hear them. This year, my humbug about Halloween was softened even more by the grand spectacle on Harrison Boulevard. I live just a block off Harrison, and I was delighted as I watched the decorations go up and get increasingly elaborate as the days and weeks went on. On Halloween night, I was lucky enough to be invited to a neighbor's house for chili, and so I left my own home in darkness and watched the 3,000-plus people who mobbed the street from a safe remove. While there are some class implications to this ritual that I have not yet fully fathomed, there is also an open-hearted kind of generosity here, and a delight in the goblins and ghoulies and ghosties and spiders and cobwebs and gravestones and headless horsemen and jack-o'-lanterns of Halloween. I have long been fascinated by the parallels and the differences between Halloween and the Mexican Dia de los Muertos, both celebrated at this time of year. For us, Halloween has become so much a children's holiday, one in which we delight in frightening one another, a kind of laughing at death that keeps it at a distance. In Mexico, the delight in skeletons is not so much to keep death at a distance, but rather to embrace it in a dance, to diffuse its power by holding it close. Mexican poet and Nobel Prize winner Octavio Paz tells us that undaunted by death, Mexicans have no fear of getting face to face with it. Rather, a Mexican, quote, chases after death, mocks it, courts it, hugs it, sleeps with it. It is his favorite plaything and his most lasting love. The Day of the Dead is a much, much more of a holy day, one which can bring us closer to the meaning of death and teach us about the living of our lives. The pre-Hispanic people honored duality as being dynamic, says Christina Gonzalez, Hispanic studies scholar. They didn't separate death from pain, wealth from poverty, like they did in Western cultures. The Mexican Dia de los Muertos celebrations are a manifestation of this embrace of all of life, including death, that arise directly from Aztec and Mayan culture. For them, life was the dream, and only in death do we truly awake. An ancient Mexican people once wrote, "We only come to dream. We only come to sleep. It is not true that we come to live on earth." When the Spanish conquerors arrived in Mexico, the Aztecs had a month-long celebration of the dead, which to a Catholic eye seemed to mock death. The Spanish tried to abolish these pagan celebrations, and of course, they failed. As usual, the Catholic Church adapted. They moved the indigenous celebrations to connect with Catholic holidays that were similar. The days of All Saints and All Souls, the first and second days of November, when they celebrated those in heaven and prayed for the souls still in purgatory. And as happened throughout Central and South America, the blending of indigenous and Catholic religion and ritual has created a rich and varied culture. In Mexico, at Dia de los Muertos, families paint the graves of their relatives, pulling all weeds and decorating them with brightly colored paper, flowers, and especially marigolds. They cook their favorite foods and take them to the cemetery where they have a picnic and wait for the dead to visit. They light candles and wait as night falls for the spirits of the dead to visit them once again. During this time of year, there are many sweets prepared, most notably the special candies made in the shape of skeletons and skulls. It's a kind of family reunion. Think Halloween and Thanksgiving somehow. A family reunion with everyone, living and dead, in attendance. When I first visited Mexico, I couldn't quite get used to all the skeleton figurines and drawings. One in particular got under my skin, La Catrina, who is often depicted as a skeleton in a bride's dress. She is La Muerta, death. Such skeletons are comic figures for Mexicans, a way to acknowledge and yet laugh at death. Yet, knowing this intellectually didn't make the skeletal Katrina any more appealing to me. She reminded me too much of American horror films, of characters like Norman Bates' mother in the Psycho movie. Just icky. I can't get away from the Halloweenish fright of such a character. I'm so enmeshed in my own culture. Yet even as Mexicans laugh at death and celebrate the dead each year with a party, there is an underlying reverence to this that truly resonates with me. For Mexicans do not feel they lose those who die in the same way that we do. The dead are regarded as protectors of the living, says travel writer Bill Bigalke. And so their counsel is sought in family matters. The dead demand good behavior of the living, and they have within their power the ability to reward or punish. So death itself is merely one phase in the life cycle, a transcendent mutation. My grandma Lily died when I was in my early 20s. She lived in California when I was growing up in Michigan. I didn't see her very often, and we weren't close. When I moved to California for graduate school, she had already had several small strokes and had a hard time talking and saying what she meant. She had been a woman dominated in many ways by two husbands. But the young feminist in me delighted whenever the spark of the strong, feisty woman she also had been broke through. I grieved when she died, even as my heart was not broken. Now, Grandma Lily had made all the arrangements ahead of time with the Neptune Society. So after she died of a final massive stroke, they took care of her body, had it cremated, and scattered the ashes in the sea. My family was grateful to have the details handled, and there never was any kind of memorial service. No formal goodbye. No acknowledgement of her life. This did not feel right to me, but I wasn't a strong enough voice in the family to say anything, nor was I sure what to say. I just knew that a life had been, and it had ended, and we should mark it in some serious way. My father and uncle seemed relieved by the ease of the arrangements. My parents even signed up with the Neptune Society because it had just been so darn handy. I felt a vague unease. Now, as a minister, I understand far better the role of and need for rituals around death. And no passing will go unmarked in my family ever again. It's not that Mexicans do not grieve their dead. I suspect the first Day of the Dead celebration following someone's death is particularly poignant and bittersweet, for the grief is so fresh. Then each succeeding Day of the Dead provides a marker for the course of grief, an annual check-in, a way to let go over time. Paradoxically, a way to let the spirit of the dead stay with them and grow in them. In America, we don't always grieve especially well. I have talked to many people a few weeks or months after a loss who worry that they are not getting over it quickly enough. After the initial outpouring of sympathy, everyone else seems to get on with their lives, as is natural. But this can make people think they are supposed to do this as well. Grief doesn't work like that. It stays with us for months and years, even as it changes in us and changes us. What if we saw grief as proof that the dead are still with us in spirit? What if we found a way to celebrate that truth, even as the pain remains so very real? Imagine having an annual time in which we remembered the dead. Each year we could see how our grief had changed. Each year the sadness would be different. And we might be able to watch the sadness turn into a poignant bittersweetness, even joy at memory. Now, we must take on the ritual and traditions of another culture with great care. Often, too often, we address only the surface, the bright decorations, so to speak, and there is much color in Día de los Muertos, much color, much celebration. The only way to adopt a tradition with respect and reverence is to learn from it and let it change us. We have much to learn from the Mexican tradition of Día de los Muertos and its rituals. I hope today there is a deepening of our understanding of it, a deepening of our sense of embracing and celebrating death. We bring our own meanings to any ritual. The best rituals are always open and flexible in this way. The Day of the Dead has many manifestations in the many regions of Mexico. We can find our own way into this ritual to acknowledge the dead and their presence yet with us. As we do this, we may think also of those in the larger world who we have lost this year. Irish poet Seamus Heaney and Nigerian poet and novelist Chinua Achebe. Film critic Roger Ebert. Children's novelist E.L. Konigsberg. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. Journalist Helen Thomas, former Surgeon General C. Everett Koop. Bessie Cooper, who lived to 116 and was the world's oldest known living person when she died in this past year. Hall of Fame baseball player Stan Musial, and Japanese kabuki star Nakamura Kanzaburo the 18th. Charles Foley, who created the game Twister, and Ruth Benedito, who invented permanent press fabric. Actress Margaret Foley, one of the last three living Munchkins in the Wizard of Oz movie. Actors Corey Monteith and James Gandolfini. Actress Esther Williams and guitarist Richie Havens. The children and teachers who died at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Vaughn Ross, a convicted murderer who died by lethal injection. The thousands unnamed to us who have died in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and so many other places throughout the world. Those who have died have never really left. The dead are not under the earth. Rather, they have a pact with the living. They live on, at least in memory, and perhaps even more literally. Let us indeed not stand at their graves and weep. Let us seek those who have died within us and among us. May we let their lives inform the living of our own. Let us take this time for remembering. May we embrace a ritual of remembering that brings them more fully into our presence, more fully with us. As we grieve and remember and celebrate lives which touched our own. Amen. And may it be so.